Tried it? Have you tried it for breakfast? Have you tried it at all? Have you ever just stepped out of your comfort zone and been kind? Did you ever be kind to someone you didn't like? Second question. Did you ever be kind to someone you didn't like? Like a sibling or something like that. Did you ever be kind to someone who persecuted you, teased you, annoyed you, betrayed you, badmouthed you, called you down for being a believer? Were you ever kind? I'm going to just go back over a few things here. And not too long, because my mother's coming. I have a busy week. My mother's in from Calgary. And so, yeah, I have to be conscientious tonight. Yeah, so, but you remember that David said, it's interesting, they don't say David, they say the king said, is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? I'm showing the kindness of God. And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. That was Jonathan, Val, not Benjamin. Come on. Who is crippled in both feet? That's 2 Samuel 9, 2 and 4. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. I'm in Hosea 4, 1 to 3. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. There's a case against the inhabitants of the land because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God. Do you remember on Sunday we noticed that the works that I do, you will do also. And he's talking to the believer. In fact, you can believe for the work's sake. That's why it's going to be interesting if we get a few works going on to see if people will believe for the work's sake. Because often people who haven't spent any time with the Lord or directed themselves towards the Lord are caught by the calling card of the kingdom, which is healing. And so if we see some healing, it'd be interesting to see if it catches. In my own experience, I've seen people catch the Lord and salvation and the kingdom because of the power of God working in their life. In other words, the works convinced them. They got something that convinced them that there was God. And they needed something kind of in their sensory realm in order to go there. You remember Jesus said to Thomas, who said, I won't believe that the Lord is raised unless I poke my finger in his side. And so he appeared and said, okay, you can put your hand in the hole. And when he did, he said, oh, my Lord, my God. And Jesus says, you have believed because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and believed. Those who can connect spiritually will be stronger. Because if you are connecting by what you see, it's kind of trying to do it through the sensory gates. You know, the eye gate, the ear gate, all that sort of stuff. And when you do that, other things can come into those gates and clog them up. And that's why you'll notice that in the Old Covenant. There's Elijah. He's a pretty top guy. John is the greatest prior to the kingdom of God, prior to the born-again experience. John the Baptist. He's the greatest. Jesus said so. Okay? He was the forerunner, the herald, the preparer of the way, the proclaimer of salvation. And he came in the spirit of who? Elijah. Elijah had the Spirit, and Elisha had a double portion of the Spirit, but was not as great. Now, that Spirit of Elijah made John the greatest in the Old Covenant. Can I put it that way? In the Old Covenant. But Elijah has so much strength in the Lord, he can physically take on 400 plus, depending on how you read it, 400 prophets of Baal, and he hacks them down, like he kills them down by the brook, so the blood would run away. It's kind of a messy scene. Anyway, this is after he has killed an ox and built an altar. Now, somebody else hold the water. But he's had a full day. And then he runs back to the palace and beats the chariot. The sound of the rain, right? He's busy. He's got an anointing. It's an anointing that allows you to do that. You know, Samson didn't just wipe out 1,000 guys with the jawbone of a donkey because he was, very deft with the lower cuspids. He wasn't just deft with it. He had the Spirit of God on him. He had that strength. But Elijah was doing this, and when he's standing up and talking to these people, and he's very bold, he's doing it because of that anointing or the Spirit upon him, not within him. And so he's doing things physically. And when it lifts, when that anointing, and that anointing is like the presence of the Lord in a meeting. Did you know that? It's the presence of the Lord. The Spirit of God would come upon you, not within you. And that would come upon you to do things, to flow in the gifts. Now, when that leaves, he falls apart. He's taking on Ahab and 400 prophets. These are all guys. And then the little woman who paints her face upstairs, when she was meeting, is it Jehu? She put her makeup on to go and do that. Because she said, this could be bad. It was. This woman says, I'm going to get you. And he's petrified of it. Now, where was this God that allowed him to take on 400 guys? Well, God was still there, actually. In case you're wondering, God was still there. But he was operating, when the Spirit is upon you, you begin to operate more in your sensory realm. And it can get confused when that lifts, because the sensory realm is always there. You can see something that doesn't go your way in your mind. And looks bad or sounds bad, and you can depart from it. And that's why fundamentally you build your spirit on the Word. It is the fundamental building block, is the Word, written and spoken. My sheep hear my voice. But you can use the other realm because it is real. Or as the Napa guy says, my favorite guy on TV, it's true. It's true. Why do I like him so much? Because that's what Jesus used to say, truly, truly. And the Napa guy says, it's true. So, it makes you think maybe he's a believer, right? Anyway, so he said you can build on that realm. But when you build on that realm, you need to mature yourself to the Word. One of the ways you know you're mature is the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit begins to appear because the soil produces a crop by itself. If the Spirit in you is the Spirit of God and it's acting and it's working, then it's like a man who casts seed, the Word, upon the soil. And he goes to bed and he gets up, and the soil produces a crop by itself. And that's why it's important to notice this kindness thing. This kindness thing The Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land because there is no faithfulness, decisions to believe, or kindness, or knowledge of God. Those are built on the Word. Certainly faithfulness is. Knowledge is. I think kindness is too, because it instructs us to be kind as disciplined and obedient, not as I'm feeling good today. Jesus would rebuke them and say, oh, you're nice to your friends. Well, so are the unsaved. They're nice to their friends. They lend to them expecting to receive back. That's what everybody does. Doing what the world does when they think it's good does not make you Christian. It doesn't set you above. And so when we look at this, we need to look at kindness, because it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. First of all, it's fairly easy. You know, to do manifestations of the Spirit, which you're supposed to seek and which we want to see, and we want people to build their faith on seeing manifestations, so we bring a manifester in. And, it's, you know, like you're going to sell a house, you bring a realtor in, and we're going to see how that goes. He feels called into this area. Let's see. I'm open to it. And let's see if we get some people with what they recognize is the manifestations of the Spirit. You remember there's sometimes you don't even recognize when the Lord is blessing you. Do you remember that? Do you remember Deuteronomy 8:18? It is the Lord who is giving you the power to make wealth, that the covenant might be established. There are things that happen in the natural realm that are there to help establish the covenant. Kindness is one of those things. There was no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. Then he says something interesting. There is swearing, not always in French, can be in other languages. Deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. The Hatfields and the McCoys, people get into that cycle and they perpetuate it. Therefore the land mourns and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky and also the fish of the sea disappear. You know, they shut down a lot of the fisheries in Canada because the fish have disappeared. You know, I know people who only go to northern Manitoba. They think the fish have disappeared down here. But there are some at Otter Falls. Jacks. Anyway. But the fish, where did the fish go? Why did they suddenly disappear? Well, this is part of the reason. Therefore, I'm in Hosea, and you guys are too, I'm sure. Okay, 12:6, right down 12:6. Therefore, return to your God, observe kindness and justice, and wait for your God continually. Observe kindness. Kindness is one of those fruits of the Spirit, and it is easy if you have some discipline and some recognition of the Lord. Because all you got to do is be kind. And you can get to the place where, like David, the king, said, I'm going to show the kindness of God. You start with your own kindness. Start with just being kind. You'll feel better when you're kind. Did you ever give anybody a Christmas present? Once, maybe. Sometime when you're young and not smart enough to know better. Did you give someone a Christmas present? That's kind of an act of kindness. You felt good giving them something. You wanted them to like it. You wanted them to open it and enjoy it, right? You're disappointed if they kind of poo-pooed it or didn't like it. I mean, you may have been disappointed if they didn't say thank you and gush over you. That's just kind of a little carnality on the side. But if you wanted them to like it, and you were happy if you thought they did, that's why I always give money, because people can get on board with that so much easier. You know, you just throw $1,000 at somebody and they feel better, you know. And you say, yeah, they like that gift, right? But instead you give them a turquoise comforter and they say, well, I don't have any room. I have to repaint the room, you know, something like that. So be wary of the turquoise comforter. This is a word for somebody here tonight. Anyway, kindness, observe kindness. That was Hosea 4. 14, and it was 4, 1 to 3, and then 12 and 6. And now Hosea 14, 2. Did you get that, Val? 14, 2. It's a cribbage game, actually. Okay, now, Hosea 14, 2. How do you do this? How do we get going? Take with you words. Words of kindness. Words is all you need to spend. And turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously so that we render the calves of our lips. That's a phrase that means that we speak well. The young calves are a delightful blessing of joy and energy. And it's the calves of our lips, the sacrifices of our lips. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Or take words with you, New American Standard, because that's what you're reading, and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously that we may present the fruit of our lips. And back in 10:12, I'm dumping you around here in Hosea, but he says a lot. He says, so with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. You didn't know kindness was in the Bible that much, did you? Reap in accordance with kindness. When you do this, when you do things in the Spirit, this is a good rule for you. When you do things in the Spirit, expect to reap what you sow. It's good both negative and positive, but some people do the positive and not expect to it. They think that's a humility. The humility is not to count it to yourself. My hand and the strength of my arm got me this nice house. No, it was the Lord who gave you the power to make wealth that got you the nice house. So, humility is an attitude before the Lord, but you receive in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. As Proverbs 3:3 says, Proverbs 3:3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Do not let kindness and truth. Well, we knew about the truth part. But we got to get our heads around kindness. You can be kind to a fellow employee. You can be kind to a teacher. You can be kind to a customer. You can be kind to a relative. You're supposed especially to be kind to those of the house of the Lord. To the brethren, Paul would say. Zechariah 7:9, thus has the Lord of hosts said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion, each to his brother. That is not a gender thing. if you've been watching TV too much. Dispense true justice and practice kindness. So, we've been at this for a little while. We've come and gone from it. We've sniffed it, come back around like a dog with a good steak. You know, like we've kind of been there. So you've had 5-6 weeks now to consider kindness. Have you practiced it at all? A little. Did you expect to reap in accordance with? Did you do it expecting God would honor it? Did you do it aware that God calls for it? Just asking. No, you can say what you're kind. Kindness is, first of all, attitude towards another. And then it's words towards another. Well, yes, but you're not responsible for their response. See, God is gracious. He sent the Lord Jesus. He loved the world so much. Jesus is not a real Savior or not a real Savior, depending on how people receive Him or don't receive Him. See, God's going to reward you. And that'll be between you and Him. It will have nothing to do. You can expect to receive. If you had the kindness and you wanted to show especially the kindness of God, you can expect to receive in accordance with kindness, in accordance to the kindness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Well, other people are not your judge. Not true. They may like or receive, they may not. Jesus said, if they take you in, heal the sick, drive out demons, raise the dead. I know you're going to love this one, because everybody's a big Job fan here. For the despairing man, there should be kindness from his friend, so that he does not forsake the fear of the Almighty. Isn't that interesting? Kindness reflects the Almighty and brings him back to fear the Almighty. Proverbs 14:22. Will they not go astray who devise evil, but kindness and truth will be to those who devise good. Devise means to almost think spiritually. Divination is a spiritual thing. Devising good is a spiritual inspiration towards kindness. What is desirable, Proverbs 18:22, in a man is his kindness. Is his kindness. I was talking to a guy the other day. He says, I was always, since I was 18, I was always hired to be the bad cop. I was always the guy in the meeting who slammed the table, made people upset, always leveled the accusation. And then the other guy could do the deal because he was the good cop. Good cop, bad cop. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. Love is not easily provoked. It is kind. How about the worthy woman? That's Proverbs 32:26. She opens her mouth in wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. We've looked at Romans 2:4 before. You know that one. Kindness of God leads you to repentance. Romans 11:22, behold the kindness and severity of God. That's a Brazilian quote. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You've never seen a law where they say, you will not be kind. And in your goodness, godliness, brotherly kindness, Peter says. Add that. In your brotherly kindness, love. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. I'm going to leave that with you. I'm going to go and see my mother, who is in temporarily from the Alberta wastelands. You've heard of the Badlands of Dakota?